Deuteronomy chapter 31. Good showing of the young ones this morning in church, and it's always a blessing to see them singing and participating in the service. And we also are thankful for those like Brother Britt, Miss Lena, and others who invest themselves in the lives of these young people, these little ones, and Brother Tony, Miss Veronica for driving the bus, and that's a blessing. All of those who teach Sunday school, teach in junior church, work in the nursery, help with the teens and all of these things. Let me tell you something. Your labor is not in vain. Amen. And so that's a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Today, I've had some time to prepare for this. And it was challenging in the study, I can tell you that. Not because the passages were difficult or those things, but the nature of a transition Sunday and the emotions and all of these things, I tell you, it was difficult. But Lord willing, by His grace, I'll be able to preach it, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 31, we're going to start in verse 1. If you'll go ahead and stand out of honor of the Word of God, if you're physically able to this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting in verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, He will go before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as He did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom He destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, Remember the Past, but Look to the Future. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we now come to the preaching of the Word of God, speak to our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit saith and what the Word of God would have us to see. And more importantly, the heart to receive it that may fall on fertile ground and bear much fruit in our lives and in the life of our church. We praise You and thank You for what You've done in the past. And we celebrate and we give thanksgiving for what You will do in the future. It's in Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. John Maxwell, the author, he's over the years has written many books on leadership. And certainly, if you're a leader, well worth reading after some of his things. And John Maxwell said, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. A leader is someone who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. I don't think you can find a more clear picture of leadership than Moses. Even to this day, the secular world studies the life of Moses to teach principles of leadership. And there are secular authors and Fortune 500 companies and things that have workshops based on the life of Moses concerning leadership. Now, they do leave out what made Moses a great leader in the first place. But Moses certainly knew the way that God was leading them. And he went the way with them. But more importantly, he showed them. He demonstrated to them by his life the will of God and the way to serve God. He didn't just preach it, but he lived it. And now the time in our text is coming for a transition. The time is drawing nigh for the close of Moses' leadership, and they're ushering in a new chapter in the life of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. So we see the transition of leadership. What a blessing that Israel had to be under the leadership, the pastorship, if you will, of Moses. I mean, the man was truly a man's man. He was a man of courage and strength. He was a man of... Now, the Bible does say that he was a man of meekness and humility. But meekness is not weakness, right? Meekness is strength under restraint, under control. And he was a strong leader, a man of great power. And he demanded respect. And think about it, when Moses came in to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in all the world at that time, and he walks right in and he says, "Let my people go." That takes courage. That takes strength. And Moses certainly was a strong leader, and Israel was blessed to be under his leadership, to be blessed under his pastorship, if you will. Let's discuss the time of Moses here. Moses kind of introduces this season of transition in verse number 1. Moses speaks unto the nation of Israel, and then he says in verse number 2, "I'm 120 years old this day." Preacher, aren't you glad you didn't have to pastor till you were 120 years old? Moses, if you remember his life, we're not going to delve too much into it. You can read it in the book of Exodus, and I encourage you to do that. But Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. His mom was an Israelite. He was saved by a miracle. God saved him through the wisdom of his parents to put him in a bushel and a basket and send him into a specific place in the Nile where Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him. And he grew up in the household of Pharaoh. And God used that time to prepare Moses for later on in his life when he would be the one to lead his people out of bondage. Moses tries to take matters into his own hand about the age of 40, and he kills the Egyptian, trying to bring about some relief for his people. But he was trying to do God's work, but in his way and not the Lord's way. And because of that, he had to flee for his life. And he flees to the land of Midian. And there he meets the daughter of the high priest, Jethro, meets his daughter and ends up marrying her. And he becomes a shepherd. He goes from being the prince of Egypt, a ruler in Egypt, to now being a shepherd in a strange land for 40 years in the backside of the desert in the wilderness. And then the story goes that after 40 years, God reveals himself in the burning bush. What a call to ministry. I remember when I was called to the ministry, but it wasn't through a burning bush. If God called preachers that way, there would be very few preachers nowadays, I'm telling you that. But God called him to the ministry in the burning bush, and Moses and God have this back and forth, just like many of us when God called us to preach and called us to the ministry. Many a pastor had that same conversation with God, but God always wins out that conversation. So Moses goes, and by the help of his brother Aaron, we know the 10 plagues that were brought about. The judgment of God upon Egypt. And so it was definitely a challenging time under Moses' leadership. His first days in office as the leader didn't go so well for him. I mean, the nation of Israel, they were like, who do you think you are? And Pharaoh saying, who do you think you are? And who's your God? And now, by the hand of Moses and through the power of God, the 10 plagues come upon Egypt. It was definitely a challenging time because, you know, Moses grew up with those people. We never consider Moses' emotions during the 10 plagues, but think about it. He's there on a mission from God to bring his people out of captivity. Those were his people too. He was an Israelite. But Moses grew up, spent 40 years in the land of Egypt, in the house of Pharaoh. Those people who were afflicted and affected by the plagues, Moses knew them. He knew them. He knew their family. And so, I mean, the Bible doesn't talk about it, but I consider the fact that Moses was probably emotionally torn through all of that. So it was a time of challenge. And then when they came out, he had to lead the nation of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness because of their stubborn rebelliousness against God. And they murmured against Moses, they murmured against God, they murmured against Aaron, they murmured against this and against that. I mean, it's too hot. It's too cold. There's not enough food. There's too much. We don't like this manna. There, you know, we don't have enough. And man, they just complained and whined and whined and complained. And for 40 years, Moses had to put up with that. How many of you have ever been on a long trip with your children? Are we there yet? She won't quit looking at me. He's breathing on me. And they're looking at me and just think about putting up that with that on a 40-year road trip. And that's what Moses had to do. What a challenging time for him. But it was also a time of victory. I mean, Israel experienced some great victorious times under the leadership of Moses. The coming out of bondage. And the Bible says that when Israel came out, they came out with a high hand, meaning they came out victoriously. They were slaves, but they were walking out as free people with their heads held high. And God blessed them. And God took them out. And then, besides the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest miracle, in my opinion, in the Bible was the parting of the Red Sea and the nation of Israel walking across on dry ground. They didn't even, the bottoms of their feet didn't even get wet. I mean, it wasn't even muddy. They just walked across on dry ground. And then God flooded flooded out the armies of Egypt and drowned them. I mean, what a miracle. The battle that they had with the kings of the Amorites that we'll talk about here in a little bit, but there the battle is going on, and Moses stood up on the mountain and held up the rod of that God had given him, and he held it up. And as long as he held up, they were victorious in battle. And in that time, God showed himself to be Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my banner and our strength. And he held it up. And they were victorious in that battle. And there wasn't a soldier among them. They were slaves. They were carpenters. They didn't know how to fight. They weren't trained in the ways of warfare. But yet they defeated the Amorites and their kings and their professional armies. What a great time of victory that was. It was also a time of miracles. Time of miracles. Over and over again, I want to encourage you, you read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and it's just over and over again, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. From the parting of the Red Sea, the 10 plagues, to the water and the coming out of the rock. I've seen pictures of this, you know, in Sunday school material where there's a rock and just a stream coming out. But a stream, I mean, we're talking about, you know, 2 million people here and their cattle and their servants and all of that, a stream is not going to do it. I'm talking about a gushing river came out of the rock. When they come to the bitter waters and the people can't drink it, and God says, cut the tree down, and it falls into the water source and it becomes sweet. A miracle. I mean, the cloud of to lead them by day and the fire by night, miracle. They get to the Mount of God there, where God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments, and there the nation of Israel could see the very manifestation of the glory of God. Yeah. Miracle. Time and time again, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Wandering for 40 years in the desert, and not one of them went hungry. Not one of them went without water. Their clothes did not fade or tear, and their shoes did not wear out. Yeah. I want to know where I can buy some shoes that will last me at least 2 years, let alone 40 years. I mean, that's amazing. And just miracle. Miraculous time. A great time of wonderful acts of God were shown and seen through the leadership of Moses. Today, we remember the past of Landmark Baptist Church. For 28 years, we had a pastor who faithfully pastored this church. For 28 years. To us, that may seem normal, but I can tell you it's not. I can assure you that what Landmark Baptist Church had for 28 years under Brother McKinley, you don't find that in every church. Brother Carey, our missionary to Ireland, he's traveled churches and been around, and he knows that. Preacher's been around in the ministry for 45 years, and a lot of preachers have come and gone in 45 years. And in the 28 years, a lot of preachers have come and gone. But I praise the Lord that we've had a pastor who faithfully carried out his duty, faithfully carried out the ministry that God entrusted him with for 28 years. And in that 28 years, Landmark Baptist Church has seen some challenging times, no doubt. Preachers shared some of those with me. Some of you who have been here, have been around the block a time or two in this church, you know, you can think back and look back and say, you know, those were challenging times. It hasn't always been a bed of roses. I mean, there's been some challenges. There's been some times of even defeat and discouragement. But there's been some times of victory. This building we're in, that's a time of victory. Outgrowing the old building, a time of victory. And it's been a time of miracles. Just since I've been here, just in my tenure here, I've seen God answer prayer after prayer after prayer, and seen miracle after miracle by the hand of God in this church. And I know that none of us will remember, none of us will ever forget when our preacher came down with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And the doctor said he would never, he shouldn't walk again, and he shouldn't preach again. And yet, for 8 years, he stood behind the pulpit and preached the Word of God. A miracle. And we've had others. But the greatest miracles that we've seen in this church are the souls that have been saved. The lives that have been changed. The work of God in saving marriages and saving people's lives and seeing God work mighty miracles in people's lives right here at Landmark Baptist Church. And many of you would attest, yeah, I'm that miracle. And while we understand that it is God who saves, it is God who changes the heart, it is God who does the work, but God chooses to use a man to do His work. And for 28 years, we had a faithful one who did the work of God. It was a great time of victory and celebration and miracle as we look back. But as the saying goes, though, all good things do come to an end. Truth be told, we would all love to see preacher just continue to pastor the church and never grow old. And some people may have had that mentality that, well, we're all getting older and we're going to die, but preacher's just going to keep on going. But the truth is, if we grow old, and then same for them. And as much as we would love to see them continue on, that just wasn't the will of God. The nation of Israel, no doubt, they would have just loved to see Moses continue on. Yes, they murmured against him. Yes, they complained against him. Yes, they gossiped about him and sometimes wanted to kill him. But he was their leader. He was their pastor. And they would have loved to see him continue on, but he just made it clear unto them, I can no more go out and come in. Meaning, I can't lead you effectively the way that I'm supposed to now. And Moses begins to make his transition known. My time is closing. Now it is time for a new leader. The political columnist Walter Lippmann said, the final test of a leader is that he leaves behind him in other men the conviction and the will to carry on. The final test of a leader is that he leaves behind him in other men the conviction and the will to carry on. And we see now Moses introducing the new leader, Joshua. Joshua comes on the stage in verse number 3. He says, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. The time of Moses came to an end, but the work of God was moving forward. I want you to understand this, and I'm going to park it here for a second until I know you get this. The time of Moses came to an end. His tenure was over, but God wasn't done with His people. And so, because of that, God raised up another leader in Joshua. And Moses had the wisdom and the foresight to see that and know that. And so he said, now God is going to continue. Now it's time for you to go over to the promised land and conquer the promised land and fulfill the will of God. And I may not be able to lead you, but the work of God continues. I want you to know that the work of God does not stop when a pastor retires or resigns. The work of God must go forward. It must continue on. There are still souls to be saved. There's still lives to be touched with the gospel. God is not done with this church. I said, God is not done with this church. Amen, amen, Destra. That's good preaching right there. Preach it, Pastor. Come on. God is not done here. And while we would have loved to see Preacher and Miss Cookie just continue on in their role, by the way, they're not leaving the ministry. They're just changing roles here. But the work of God must continue. Until Jesus says it's over, we must continue. We don't stop until He says to stop. And one day, when if the Lord tarries His coming and we're all dead and gone, we pray that people will still be meeting here and somebody will still be behind the pulpit preaching the Word of God and that the work of God continues. Moses and Joshua, though, let me give you some thoughts about all of this? Moses and Joshua, first of all, they were two different men. Yeah. Moses and Joshua were two different men. They each had their own individual gifts, talents, abilities, personalities. They had different leadership styles. While they were the same on many things, they were different in other areas. Yeah. Moses was what I would call and refer to as the CEO type of leader. The chief executive officer, the president type leader. He was he was very much on point and organized with everything. Joshua, on the other hand, was like a general. I mean, that was the man that God raised up. Now think about this. The nation of Israel is about to cross into Canaan land, where they would have to fight enemy after enemy after enemy, and it would not be easy. And God knew that my people at this stage, right where they're at, they're going to need a general to lead them into battle. They're going to need somebody to lead them in combat, somebody who's going to be a strategician, somebody who's going to be able to command the troops, somebody who's going to be able to lead my people into battle and to conquer the land. See, God knows what His people need. And God, you see it throughout Scripture, God raises up a man to fulfill the current need of His people. When God brought David up and God anointed David to be the next king of Israel, David was a shepherd, was he not? A shepherd. And God told David, He said, "You will be a shepherd to my sheep. You will be a shepherd to my people." Because he knew what Israel needed at that time. And so He raised up David to fulfill that need. So they were two different men. But despite their differences, Moses had faith in Joshua. Moses had all the faith and confidence that Joshua could do the work that God was calling them to do. See, Joshua didn't just pop out of nowhere. Joshua didn't just pop out of the crowd and said, "I'm the one to lead this crowd. I got this, Moses. We'll be taken care of." No. Joshua, through the whole tenure of Moses' leadership, was right there, faithfully serving the man of God. We could say it this way, he was Moses' associate pastor. It'll be 8 years in May. It would have been 8 years in May that I would have been the associate pastor here at Landmark Baptist Church. And in that, fulfilled various roles. I always said, and I tell this to guys coming out of Bible college, I tell them, if you're going to be an associate pastor, you've got to be willing to do and go wherever your pastor says. You're preacher putty. You go wherever the preacher tells you, and you stick where he puts you until he says otherwise. I mean, leading teenagers, junior church, leading songs at times, preaching at times, serving as a trustee at times. I mean, kind of been all over the map. But wherever preacher needed me, that's where I was. Joshua was faithful and loyal to the man of God. When Moses got to go to the mount and meet with God, God said, all of Israel must stay away from the mountain. They don't cross this border. They have to stay within a certain distance away from the mountain. But Joshua got to go halfway up. He was the only one. Moses got to the top to see God, but Joshua was there. Joshua was there. Joshua was the one who led the people of Israel into battle against the king of the Amorites when they weren't combat hardened yet. it was Joshua who led the charge while the man of God held the rod. I've tried to the best of my ability, be faithful and loyal when I was an associate pastor, willing to do whatever was asked of me. John Maxwell said, before one can be a good leader, he must first be a good follower. Before you can lead, you have to learn to follow. I didn't know hardly anything about following when I came here. But I tell you what, it's easy to learn to follow when you're following a good pastor and a good preacher. Moses saw Joshua faithfully following, and that led to his confidence that he would be faithful to lead. But ultimately, it was God who called Joshua. Let's not make any mistake here. It was God who called and placed Joshua to be the leader over his people. In Numbers chapter 27, Moses is praying and he says, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be as not sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight." While Moses certainly had a hand in raising up and training the leader in Joshua, it was God who placed him there. He was the man of God for that hour. Moses knew his time was coming, and he began to pray, "God, somebody needs to take the place of my leadership. God, somebody has to lead your people. And God, they don't need to be a sheep without a shepherd. God, you need to raise up a man." And God answered that in the man Joshua. It was about a year ago, I guess this time a year ago, that preacher came into my office after missions conference and said, "This is going to be my last year." He said, "And I've been praying and I feel like you should be the next pastor at Landmark Baptist Church." He said, "But I want you to pray about it." So I took 2 weeks and we prayed about it and sought the Lord. And after 2 weeks, truthfully, I didn't need 2 weeks. I could have just told him right then and there. But I wanted to take it seriously and actually pray about it, and because he had also asked me to. So my wife and I, we prayed, but the last week we were praying, but we already knew the answer. And we came and we told Preacher and Miss Cookie over lunch that we were going to stay and we were going to see what the Lord does. Now this year, the transition didn't go quite as smooth and as easy as we at first anticipated. But God knew what He was doing. And He was in control the whole entire time. I want to give you just some thoughts here about the transition from preacher to myself. First of all, I'm not trying to replace preacher. I couldn't wear his boots. First of all, they wouldn't fit. Second of all, I don't wear boots. I want to be the man that God has called me to be. I want to be the pastor that God would have me to be. I want to be the kind of preacher that God would have me to be. I want Him to lead and guide His flock, His church, the way He would have it to be done. So I'm not trying to replace preacher. And to clear up some confusion for the church family, you can continue to call him preacher, okay? Because that's who he is. He's earned the title. On his tombstone, we're not going to put Dennis McKinley. We're just going to put preacher. So it's okay to continue to call him preacher. I would ask, just do me a favor, okay? For years, I've been, hey, you. Where's that dumb kid? We know he's around here somewhere. For my first 2 years on staff, when Miss Francis was the secretary and Brother Joe Hay was on staff, I was just known as the kid. I didn't think they knew my name. When you're the youth pastor, you can get called whatever. But I'm just going to ask you if you're just... You don't have to call me preacher because he's preacher. But Brother Destry or Pastor Destry, those things will be okay. I can tell you that as pastor, I'm not going to do everything like he did. Not every decision I make will be the one he would have made. And as long as I don't violate this book, it's okay. It's okay. If I start to go against this book, then it's not okay. But as long as I'm standing on the Word of God and following His leadership concerning the will of God and abiding by the Scriptures, if things are done a little differently, it's okay. Because I'm not him. God didn't create us to be clones of one another. God created us as individuals. That doesn't mean everything he did as pastor was wrong. And it doesn't mean that, though, that everything I do that may be different is wrong either. I just want to strive to be the kind of pastor and the kind of leader that God would have me to be. And while preacher was certainly instrumental in my training and mentoring me and helping me to be where I am today, make no mistake about it, God has called me to pastor the Landmark Baptist Church. He placed the burden on me. Yes, the church voted. Yes, the church voted me in and all of that. But God called me here. My calling to preach and to pastor is just as real as His ever was. It's just as real. And my desire to pastor and see the church grow and the will of God be accomplished is just as real. It was God who led me here. It was God who placed me here. And while I know that I won't do everything correctly, I'm going to make some mistakes. The only pastor we'll ever have that will never make a mistake is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul himself could pastor the Landmark Baptist Church and there would be some mistakes. So I know I'm going to make some mistakes. So I ask for your patience when I make those mistakes. I ask for a little grace when I make those mistakes. I ask for your forgiveness when I make those mistakes. But I also pray and ask that you don't just leave me. I'm confident, first of all, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be faithful to His church. I'm confident that His Word will equip us and enable us to move forward as a church. And I'm confident that the Word of God is going to enable me to do the work of the ministry that He has called me to. In this transition of leadership, Moses left some crucial instructions that we need to take heed to. Believe it or not, that was all introduction. But believe it or not, the sermon will be over soon. He tells him in verse 3, the Lord thy God will go over before thee, and he will destroy the nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. He tells him to remember the past, to remember the past promises of God, to remember the past promise that God made that they would take over the land. He tells them in Deuteronomy 1:8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and their seed after them. And he tells them, verse 3, that the Lord God, he will go over before thee. Remember the promise that God has made that he will be with you. When God makes a promise, it is a done deal. The Bible says in Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Right now we're in the time of the elections, and I will be thanking the Lord when the elections is over. I've had it up to here with election stuff, I'm telling you. And I'm by the nodding and amens, I know I'm not the only one. But I can tell you this, that the politicians will lie. That TV commercials will lie. That the salesmen will lie. I mean, this world lies to us. But I'm telling you that God never lies. And when God says it, it is true. And God made a promise that he would be with his people and that they would possess the land. And Moses says, remember what God has said when it comes to moving forward. That God will be with you and he will take care of things. God has made some wonderful promises to you and I as a local New Testament church. In Matthew 21, 22, the Bible says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. He says in John 14, 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do it. Matthew 28, 20, and Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Ephesians 3, 20, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. In Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm telling you that this morning that as a local New Testament Baptist church right here in Carlsbad, New Mexico, in 2016, we're standing on the promises that cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. As a church and as a pastor, we're going to stand on the promises of God that He will do His work, that He will build His church, that He will send forth laborers, and that He will provide all of our needs, and that He will be with us, and we will have His authority. We will have His Word. We will have His Spirit. We're going to stand on the promises of God and say, by His grace, we're going to move forward for the glory of Jesus Christ. And then we're to remember the past exhortation. Moses said in verse number 5, and do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Moses was faithful to teach the people the Word of God, the law of God, the Word of God. He was faithful to it. We're to remember the things that we learned from our pastor. We're to remember those things. For 28 years, we had a pastor who took the words and commandments of the Word of God seriously in 2 Timothy 4:2 that said, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I've heard many a sermon from preacher on that text, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. There were some times where we came to church and we got rebuked. Sometimes we came to church and we got reproved. And other times we were exhorted with all long suffering, but always with Bible doctrine. I mean, always. We're not to forget those lessons that God taught us through our preacher. We're not to forget those things. And we're to remember where we received them from. And then we're to remember past victories. He says in verse 4, "And the Lord shall go unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of whom he destroyed." And then he tells them, hey, remember the past victories. Because that's what God's going to do in the future. Don't forget the past provision of God in the building of this building, but also the fellowship hall and Sunday schools across the street. Don't forget the provision of God. Don't forget the answered prayers and the miraculous things God has accomplished. Don't forget about the souls that have been saved and baptized. Don't forget about the past blessings of God on the church. But more importantly, we're to look forward. Warren Wiersbe said, while God wants us to remember the past, He doesn't want us to live there. We're not to live in the past. The Apostle Paul said, of all of the things that God has done and I've seen in my life, he said, I do count them but dung that I may press toward the mark. We're to always be pressing towards the mark. Pressing forward for the honor and glory of God. We're to remember and honor the past, but to keep our eyes forward. What is the will of God today? We're not to rely on yesterday's victories. We look at yesterday's victories to give us full confidence and assurance that if God did it then God could do it now. That if God saved souls then, God will save souls now. That if God built a church then, God will build a church now. That if Sunday schools and bus routes were built and filled then they can be filled and built now. That if God saw us go through not one but two building projects because we were outgrowing space, then we can do it now. That if God did it then God can do it now. God is not limited by the economy. God's not limited by the culture and society around it. God isn't limited by man or by government or by any of these things. God is God, and if He so chooses to build His church, He will build His church. And we're to look past to remember, but look forward. And looking forward and moving forward, we got to move forward, verse number 6, in strength. Be strong. And then he says, and of good courage, fear not. He's telling them, hey, I'm not going to be the one to lead you, but don't be afraid. Be strong and take courage, because God will be with you. God will lead you. God will provide for you. God has raised up a man who will do the work. And he says, don't be discouraged, Israel. But take heart. And move forward. If we're going to move forward in strength, I got to tell you, church, it's got to be through the Lord's strength. It's got to be through the Lord's power, through His ability. We have to live by the words where God told the nation of Israel when they were rebuilding after captivity in Babylon, where God told them, He said, not by might nor by strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We have to move forward with courage. We can't be afraid of the next step for our church. Whatever God has next for Landmark Baptist Church, we can't sit and twiddle our thumbs and wonder, well, is this the will of God or not? If we know it's the will of God, then take courage and do the work of God. Amen. We have to move forward in courage. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. Courage is doing what is right despite our fears. And I'm telling you, nobody's more afraid than me. Of what's next for Landmark Baptist Church. No one is more terrified than me. But as I was studying this, I can tell you that God met with me in my office right there and said, don't be afraid. Take strength. Be courageous and do the work of God. Landmark Baptist Church is not done with its mission. We still have more missionaries to support. We still have more children to reach on the bus route and to see them saved and to see them grown up in the things of God. We still have marriages to save and see resolved. We have people to be discipled. God's work is not done. We must move forward in faith. He says, "And be not afraid, for thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." We got to go forward in faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. For without faith it is impossible to please God, to please Him. If we move forward, but we leave our faith behind, we're doing no good. We'll see nothing accomplished, nothing worth eternity, nothing worthwhile. So as we move forward, let's be strong and take courage, but not in of ourselves, not in the pastor, not in a man, but in the Lord our God. He is faithful and He's just. And whatever He says, He will do. Amen. Let me close with the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's all stand. If you're able to this morning. And I want to invite you to come to this altar. I want to invite you to this altar. I think it would be good if we came as a church. If we came to the altar and we took some time to pray together. And praise and give praise to God for what He's done. God has blessed this church. God has worked in this church. And it's unto Him be all the honor and glory and praise. And we ought to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for that. But we also need to come praying for our future. If the Lord tarries His coming, we need to pray for strength. We need to pray for courage. We need to pray for souls to be saved, for the work of God to continue. We need to pray that our faith will not fail us. And so I'm going to pray, and once I'm done praying, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I'm going to be down here praying, and I want to invite you to come pray with me, our Heavenly Father, as we now come to the invitation. God, we're going to take a moment to give thanks and praise unto Your name for what You've done. And God, we're going to look forward to our future. God, whatever You may have in store for us. Lord, I want to pray that our strength and our courage would not fail us. God, I pray that our faith would be upon You and settled upon You and Your promises. And God, that whatever and wherever Your will is and wherever it may take us and whatever that might be, God, that we would have the faith to follow and to listen and to obey and do the will of God. We thank You for who You are and what You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to come forward, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Let's pray for our church.